And it's Oscars weekend. You know, the Oscars are tonight. And except for This Is Me winning Best Song, I thought this would be a fun weekend to unveil the movie commercial, Oscars weekend. And you can't go to the movies without a little bit of a snack. So the ushers are going to come down. And we've got a little snack for you guys today. So come on down with the offering baskets. And this is pretty cool because, like, it's not often in church you can take something out of the offering baskets. So take something out. It's some white cheddar popcorn. Start passing them. Just start passing them around. Up and down the aisles. There you go. Just like the offering. There we go. So a bag of popcorn and a red vine. One single red vine. Say, Pastor Greg, really? Like a cup of popcorn and a single red vine? It's a 33-second commercial, okay? Give me a break. I'm not going to give you a tub of popcorn for a 33-second commercial, okay? Advertisement. So while that's being handed out, let me just say quickly, so it was a few weeks back that Eric came over a weekend and a couple weekends and did a lot of footage, and we've been just praying about the opportunities to let folks out there know what's going on in here, and it's always intimidating to come to a new place, and we try to do a lot of different ways of connecting with people. Obviously, Facebook is a big way that we do that. We're doing some Instagram stuff now, and also we're a sponsor of the Ambassador Christian Newspaper, and we also put stuff in the Appeal Democrat from time to time, but we thought, what a great opportunity to reach just a whole range of people to have an advertisement in the theater, you know, before the show times. There's the different ads that are playing before the trailers start, and every theater, every screen, every showtime here at the Yuba City Cinemark for at least 3 months. So we're really excited about that and the exposure that it's going to be. But I just want to say, because I don't want there to be any confusion, this is not about, like, you know, we're thankful for what God is doing here and we love our church, but it's about the kingdom, and it's not about just making this great name for ourselves. We're excited about what God is doing in our church, and we want other people to know about it. And so that's the heart of what this is about. And so we hope that you'll support it. We're going to put it up on our Facebook page today. So start, man, just share that thing. And let's just get it out there. And we're hoping it'll be in the theaters here in a couple of weeks before Easter, so we can get some exposure before Easter. And just grateful for this tool. Grateful for the ability to do it because of your generosity. And grateful for the incredible expertise that Eric displayed in taking several hours, I'm not sure what the final number was as far as hours, into 33 seconds of advertisement. So I think we're just about through handing out the popcorn. How is it? Pretty good? Pretty good? All right. Okay. Can't quite match the Cinemark, you know, buttered popcorn thing, so I thought, man, adding a little something would help the white cheddar. All right. Sean and Adrian, are you guys in here? Sean and Adrian did all those bags. God bless you guys. Yeah, thank you. They did all the bags, like 500 bags of popcorn and red vine, singular, not plural. Okay, are we set, guys? Okay, let's hit the lights. Here it is, Adventure Church. Awesome. Do you still have popcorn? Let's do it one more time. 33 seconds. All right, awesome. Super fun, super cool. Where's DJ and Michaela? Yeah, isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's super cool. So they're right there at the end. So autographs available somewhere, I'm not sure. Hey, can we thank Eric one more time from Marcom Media? Thank you, man, so very much. Really appreciate it. All right, Exodus chapter 32, everybody. Exodus chapter number 32. Turn your Bibles there, please. What's that? No, I have it. I'm at 4%, which means I'm going to lose my notes. Lucky for you, I have it back on my phone, too. So, yes, we're going to be out as soon as the iPad dies. No, not going to happen. Okay, cool. I was going to maybe have a grab of that cord. The cord, yeah. Okay, just in case I need it. Have it on standby in case I need it. All right, goodness. Okay, Exodus chapter 32. Did we do Bibles yet? Sorry, I didn't announce Bibles yet. If you need a Bible, go and lift up your hand, and one of our ushers will bring a Bible to you. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. If you just forgot your Bible, you can use it today and set it back on the bookcase. Did you guys see the commercial? Did you miss it? Okay. Sorry. You can do that. Okay. 33 seconds. Play it again. Their daughter is in it. It's so sweet. All right. There you go. So sweet. Cool. Nicole's daughter's in it. I had to make sure she saw it. Okay. Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Just put it underneath there. Big thank you to everyone who was involved in the concert on Friday night. Hope you guys that were here enjoyed that. Big thanks to Jeff for all of his work in making that happen. Right on. It was fantastic. Chris August, Missy Robertson, Jeff and Kaylee, they just did a great job. It was a great evening. Yuba City really represented. So thank you guys so very much for helping spread the word. And it was just a great, great evening together. So as we look at our passage today, Exodus chapter 32, it really is one of the most head-scratching passages of Scripture in the Bible, literally, because we're not just looking at Exodus 32, we're looking at Exodus 32 in the context of all that we have experienced with the people of Israel from the time they were enslaved in Egypt until this moment where they're at the base of Mount Sinai waiting for Moses to come down. And it's truly just an incredible... it's an incredible thing, and we're getting close to the end of our series. Next Sunday will be our last message in the book of Exodus, and then of course we have Be the Church Sunday, and then following Be the Church Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then Easter, and then I've got a post-Easter series, and then we'll pick another book of the Bible to start in May, probably something from the Old Testament or from the New Testament. We'll kind of go back and forth. So I'm taking bids. So if you have a Bible, a book of the Bible that you prefer, like I'm taking bids, you know, on what you'd like it to be. But except for Romans, because I'm doing Romans as my swan song, okay? So I'm not ready to retire yet. So once I get ready to retire, when I'm done with Romans, I'm out. And whatever else can happen after that, okay? So anyway, but I'm really excited about what we've done here in Exodus. As you recall... early on in the series, we had Lisa Scott doing so much great stuff up here on stage, and she's responsible for everything that happens up here, so really appreciate the stage work. But we had, we had a pyramid back here, and we had the burning bush, and we had a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. We had things up here about all the plagues, and we just kept adding different things, and the stage was getting really full and stuff. We decided not to do that once we got the new year with the new stage design. But one of the things that we had was right up here in front, we had a cow. We had the cow up here. There's a picture of it. So you may remember the cow we had. That was part of the plagues that we had. The next picture is for any, cow tipping fans, that are in the house. And so as we go to the golden calf today, the golden cow. And we decided to cover it, because I didn't want people coming in like, there's an idol in this church. Like, what kind of church should I walk into? There's like a golden idol up there. It's not, so we wanted to unveil it, make sure we could explain what was going on and not confuse anybody. So this is the account in Exodus chapter 32 where the people, they build and they worship a golden calf. With all that they have been through, with all the freedom, all the provision, all the protection, all the ways in which God has led them and guided them and provided for them and instructed them, they build an idol. And it's really one of those experiences where as I read the text, I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait, they did what? And that's the title of the message today. So let's read about it in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And before I have you stand, that's our custom here. We stand for the reading of the word. Just wanted to kind of unpack that a little bit. So it's 35 verses today. So if you're not able to stand for any of it, that's fine. If you need to sit down while reading, it's fine. One of the things that we're trying to hold as a value is the public reading of Scripture. Oftentimes, one of the things I learned when I was in Israel is way back in the day, it was 25 minutes of Scripture and 5 minutes of interpretation. That's how the ratios worked. Today, of course, in most modern evangelical churches, it's, if you're lucky, 5 minutes of Scripture and 25 minutes, of interpretation and commentary. And so we're probably never going to get back to that, but at the same time, we want to place a high value on the public reading of Scripture, and that's why we read texts, and sometimes it's 5, 6, 7, 8 verses, and then there are days like today where it's 35 verses. We're just going to read the entire narrative, and we invite you to stand. So would you stand with me as I read today? You follow along. It's page number 80. If you've got one of those adventure Bibles we just handed out, Exodus chapter 32, the account of the golden calf. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in your ear, in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. Unbelievable. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. Catch that. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. His name is Yahweh. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you, Moses. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people drink it. Verse 21, Moses says to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil, for they said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. You should have been there, Moses. Saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. The next day Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold, but now, if you will, forgive their sin. But if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. Incredible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together this morning. We thank you for this text of scripture. We know it's there for a reason. And so I pray that you'd help us understand it and learn from it and take some principles that we can apply to our lives today. Thank you for each one that's come in today. Father, just bless them, encourage them. We're so blessed by their presence with us today. And we just ask that you'd meet with us and give us understanding. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much, everybody. You may be seated. So in your bulletin, you've got a little blue insert where you can take some notes if you want. So we've got five observations and five takeaways. So we'll go kind of quick and hit all these, and then we'll conclude our service with communion this morning with it being the first weekend of the month. Okay, so observations from the passage. Number one, Israel's blatant disobedience. Is there any other way to say it? Is there any way other way to describe the blatant, in-your-face kind of disobedience that they're displaying in this moment? I just don't know that it can get any worse than this. Take a look at this next slide. So we've got the Ten Commandments. Pastor Jordan outlined these, you know, several weeks ago. The Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Pretty clear, okay? Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Pretty clear. There's an issue there, okay? They're obviously doing those things that God does not want them to do. What I find particularly fascinating is what I referenced as I was reading it. They make the calf, they build an altar, they're sacrificing to it. Aaron makes a proclamation, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. They were calling this Yahweh. Oh my goodness. I mean, that is just in the face, blatant mockery of the God who had delivered them. This is Yahweh? I don't think so. Another interesting thing to reference is in verse number 6, where the Bible says the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In the Hebrew, there's a sexual connotation to that word. So you can kind of let your imagination go where it will and think about just the incredibly gross, immoral scene that's happening as the people are dancing and gyrating and singing and all the stuff around this golden calf. While in view, they're at the base of Mount Sinai where there's thunder and there's fire and there's lightning. They can see it. It's right there. And yet this great scene is happening at the base of the mountain. Number one, Israel's blatant disobedience. Number two, Aaron's tragic compromise. How sad is this? In Exodus chapter 24, we referenced this several weeks ago, Moses, and one of the times he goes up, like, when I'm up there, Aaron's in charge. You know, you go to Aaron. And so they come to Aaron, and the people say, this is what we want. And rather than standing up for what is right, Aaron submits to what they want and crafts this golden calf. Even with all that he had seen and experienced, Aaron was the guy standing with Moses in front of Pharaoh. Let my people go. Aaron was there to witness all the miracles. Aaron was there to witness all the plagues. Aaron saw all this stuff at the right hand of Moses, and still, he's here carving and crafting an idol for the people to worship. Absolutely tragic. Last weekend, we had Pastor Jordan's installation, and here's a shot from that. And I love the picture of Kaylee. She looks so sweet. She's like that 24/7, right? That's just her whole, yeah, no, okay. It was a great time. And one of the scriptures that we read for Pastor Jordan's installation, I want to read again, put it up on the screen. It's kind of small. But look what it says here about the charge to those in leadership, because there's so much that can be said about leadership here. I charge in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off. Fulfill your ministry. And it doesn't matter if it's in church leadership, as the leaders of your homes, as the leaders in organizations and leaders in your workplaces. There are always going to be people that say, hey, let's do this. And it's in those times that I urge you to remember this poor example of Aaron, who gave into the whims and the will of the people to do something that was grossly wrong in the sight of God. His explanation is incredible. Again, verse number 24. So I said to them, Let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. Like, just, it was this magical thing that happened. Like, I had no, even though it says very specifically that he fashioned it with a graving tool and made the golden calf. Moses didn't see this, so maybe Aaron's like, maybe I can pull a fast one, you know, on Moses and not let him see exactly what happened. It's like, you know, you're in one room, and you hear something break in the other room, and you go in that room, and there's one child there, and you say, what happened in here? And they're like, I don't know. What? What are you talking about? Okay? That's what happens here. Again, great leadership lessons here. Let me give you one. And jot this down somewhere in your notes. Okay? Put it up on the screen. It's always the right time to do the right thing. Remember that. It's always the right time to do the right thing. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there will be consequences. But I'd much prefer that than what we read here in Exodus chapter 32. Okay, so let me encourage you, all of you that leaders of your homes, leaders of organizations, leaders within workplaces, leaders on campuses, leaders in the church, it's always the right time to do the right thing. Aaron's tragic compromise. Number three, third observation, God's consuming wrath. Verse number 7, Lord says to Moses, go down for your people. Y'all see what's going on here? Okay, have you ever had that conversation? As soon as you come home, do you know what your son did today? What do you mean it's my son? Like, I thought this was our... No, right now, I'm mad at him, so he's your son. He's not my son right now. Okay? That's exactly what's going on here. Exodus 32. Your people. All this time it's been his people. Your people. And as he goes through and talks about, you know, he's... Let my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. God is mad here. He's mad. And I totally understand that, particularly in our day and age, in our culture, we don't like to think about the mad God. We'd much rather think about the love God. And he is, but he is all of these things. We cannot take things from his character that make him who he is. Got to be careful about this. And Exodus 32 gives us a window, gives us a glimpse into God's perspective on this idolatrous sin that's taking place in the camp. He says, I'm gonna make a great nation of you. So I've done this before. So I started with Adam and Eve, and things got really bad. So I started over with Noah. And then I made this promise to Abraham, and now things are getting really bad. So Moses, you're going to be the new Abraham. You're getting an upgrade. You're going to be the father. You're going to be the father of the nation. I can still keep my promise to Abraham because you're of that line, so I'm not getting rid of my promise, but I'm just going to do it now in a new way. He is mad. His wrath is turned on the people. And there's an interest, and I totally understand that this makes us uncomfortable. One of the things we like to say around here is we acknowledge the tension, but we affirm the truth. Okay, we acknowledge the tension of how uncomfortable this might make us feel. But we read it in Scripture, so we affirm it as truth. Another interesting just aspect of this is, you know, we are made in the image of God. As human beings, we are made in the image of God. Which means there are parts of who we are that are a reflection of our Creator, a reflection of our Maker. We are spiritual. We are rational. We are emotional. We are physical. We are these things, and we see these things in the Godhead. We see intellect, we see rationale, we see emotion. Obviously, God is a spirit. We see in Jesus, who takes on human flesh. We see all of these things. We sometimes think of God as just this kind of, you know, just entity, this whatever it is. You know, he's a person. He's a person. And when his people are acting in such a way, it's obviously going to have an impact. So God's consuming wrath. Number four, Moses' heartfelt intercession. But, verse number 11, Moses implored the Lord his God. O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? And as I read his intercession in these next verses, there are two things that are striking to me. Number one, his intercession for his people. Okay, his people, number one. God, these are your people. These are my people. These are your people. These are the people that you delivered. These are the people that you performed all these works, all these acts, showed all this power. They're your people. please don't kill them. Please don't consume them. Please don't destroy them. He's concerned for the people. But he's not just concerned for the people. He's not just concerned for the physicality of the needs that are right in front of him. He's also concerned, number two, not just for his people, but for his name. That you led the people out in the wilderness just to annihilate them here in the wilderness, that is not going to look good for you. This is not good. This is not good for your reputation. Your name is paramount. And I don't want you to do anything that is going to affect that. And friends, that is such a valuable lesson for us. Because so oftentimes our prayers are just about the people. And they should be there. We need to pray. We need to intercede. But we also need to be in prayer for God. May your name be glorified in this. So I'll pray that often. Lord, I want this to happen. But if your name will get greater glory by not answering this prayer, I'm more concerned about your glory than this need. And if you're answering this need can bring you greater glory, then that's what I want. His intercession is in two places, both his people and his name. Next Sunday, preview, it's our final message. And the title of the message next week is, It's All About His Glory. It's all about his glory. And we're going to unpack that next week because there's so much to learn about that as he descends on the tabernacle. That'll be chapter 40. One other verse I want to share here in this point, verse number 32. Again, just the heartfelt. He says, but now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. Think about that. Moses says, if that's what it takes, if it takes taking me to spare them, if it takes me to forgive them, I will do that. What love. What care, what concern Moses had for his people, and what a great example for all of us today. So Moses' heartfelt intercession. And then number five, lastly, last observation, sin's devastating consequences. We read it. It's awful. It's horrific what the people went through. Number one, there's the anger of the Lord, and I don't want to minimize that in any stretch of the imagination. That was a devastating consequence, just the absolute anger that God had about what the people were engaged in breaking the covenant. You know, we look at those verses that talk about Moses, you know, throwing down the tablets and breaking them. And we think of that in terms of his anger and Moses' anger. And Moses, I can't believe they're doing this. Oh, Israelites. And that may be part of it, but I think there's a greater thing kind of being demonstrated there is they broke the covenant. They broke the covenant. You know, God said he would do this. The people, remember that from a few weeks ago? God gave it, and they're like, yay, we're in. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Oops. Broke the covenant. God said, I'll do this. You will do that. Broken in the anger of the Lord as a result. The death of the 3,000. I can't even imagine. Take up a sword and start killing people in the camp of the people. Horrible, devastating consequence. And then you get to the very end of the chapter, verse number 35. Then the Lord sent, on top of all that, the anger of the Lord, the death of the 3,000, the Lord sends a plague on the people. Now, the people knew what plagues were, right? Yeah. Yeah, all the plagues in Egypt, all the things that God did. And for each one of those plagues, who was protected? God's people, Israelites. And now they're on the receiving end. And they're like, okay, this is what it's like to have been. They would have remembered. It's not that far. It's not that long ago that they were in Egypt. And they were seeing how the suffering was occurring to the people around them, the Egyptians. And now it's befalling on them. Sin's devastating consequences. Okay, so some takeaways. What do we take away from this passage today? Let me give you five quick things. All right, number one, God's delays either detour us or deepen us. God's delays either detour us or deepen us. Verse number one, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Moses delayed. They're waiting for Moses. Moses goes up in the mountain. He's going to be there for 40 days. They're waiting. They get up in the morning, like, hey, has Moses come down yet? Anybody seen Moat? No, Moat, we're still waiting. Okay, another day goes by. Another day goes by. A week goes by. Another week goes by. Anybody seen Moses? I don't know what's going on with Moses. What's that old saying? Idle hands are the who's workshop? The devil's workshop. We find ourselves in these seasons, those seasons of waiting, and it either detours us, like we see in Exodus 32, or it deepens us in our faith, in our walk. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, we read these words, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its works, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I love this translation of the verse. It's in the NIV. Perseverance. To persevere. It's different from patience. Patience is when we sit on our porch with an iced tea waiting for the UPS guy. You know, we've got the tracking number. It's out for delivery. Where are you? We're just waiting. We're just waiting. Perseverance gives the idea of it's beating against you, and you're firm, and you're trying, you're resisting, you're walking in the midst of that. That's what it's talking about here. And there are going to be times in life, and sometimes the trial is silence. Sometimes the trial is delay. And what happens is, rather than persevere, we exit. Rather than digging in, we bolt. And I just want to encourage you to persevere, because when perseverance finishes its work, you may be mature and complete. God will use that in your life to deepen you. Man, I see it working in Pastor Greg's life. I see it working in my friend's life. I'm on Facebook and everybody's having spiritual victory but me. I'm out. And people walk away from God. They walk away from the church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. I want to encourage you. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Wants you to isolate yourself, silo yourself. In those moments, go deeper. Continue reading. Continue praying. Continue studying. Continue fellowshipping. Because those delays will either detour us or deepen us. When you find yourself in such a season, do those things. Number two, we are always generous toward what we desire. We're always generous toward what we desire. The people gave of their gold for this idol. And those of you that know me, I'm kind of a glass half full kind of a person. I'm like the eternal optimist. If there's a positive, like, I'm sure, you know, given the benefit of the doubt. And so I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here to Aaron just for a minute. So they come to Aaron with this plan, and Aaron's like, oh man, this is going to be bad, because he knows what Moses is going to say. He says, okay, if I do this for you, this is what it's going to cost you. You have to give me all your gold. Maybe thinking, okay, we want it, but we don't want it that bad. So we're not going to, so maybe he's thinking this will be a way that he doesn't have to do it. But what happens? Here you go. And now he's stuck. And what do we learn there? We learn that they're willing to give for what they want. We're always generous with the things that we desire. We make provision for the things that we want, right? We make time for the things that we want to do, right? Absolutely we do. So my son's home, Joshua. Again, good to have you home, buddy. And we knew this was the week he was going to be coming home. And so I'm taking some days off this week. So we've got a conference in Vacaville tomorrow with some of our staff and leadership team. And then we have the volunteer appreciation dinner on Friday that we're super excited about. So I'm going to take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off so I can hang with Joshua and catch up and all that. And so so we were making these plans, making these arrangements. And about a week and a half ago, I discovered that on one of the websites that I read, that Mark Hamill, who plays Luke Skywalker, Star Wars illustration coming up. Isn't it great? And then in the commercial, like, it's me with the BB-8. Like, that's a great, moment, immortalized forever, you know, on screen. Mark Hamill plays Luke Skywalker. He's getting his star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood on Thursday this week. So I start thinking, and I'm thinking, okay, Joshua's going to be home. Mark Hamill's going to be, and all the stuff, he's only 6 hours away. George Lucas and Harrison Ford are going to be there to MC. I'm going to be with my son. I have this like incredible, and this is going to be like my super vulnerable moment here, okay? So if this like, if you just can't handle this and this is like your last service at Adventure Church, it was great having you. Thank you for coming and being part here. So I have a collection of Star Wars memorabilia. They're not toys, they're collectibles and memorabilia that I've been doing since Joshua was born, since 1995. So for almost 23 years, and it's all Luke Skywalker stuff. I have an entire room in my house that is full of collectibles of Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. And here's a quick picture of me in my room. That's a quarter of the room. That's a corner of the room, okay? It's the entire room. I can't believe this man is my pastor. Time to start looking for a new church. I can make some recommendations. I know them all. Okay. So I have never, I've been collecting stuff for years. I have never seen him live. I've never seen him in person. So when I start putting it all together, and then Joshua brought me this from Disneyland. Thank you, buddy. So this is my Luke Skywalker that I did not have. So he brought that to me from Disneyland. So he's my little assistant today. So Joshua's home. I have the time off. Luke Skywalker is going to be 6 hours away. How long do you think it took me to figure out that I'm going? It took me about 6.5 seconds. To put all those pieces together in my head, like, we're going, road trip. And I even called him, like, dude, I'm going. Are you in? He's like, I'm in. Let's go. So literally, we're leaving Wednesday. We're coming back Thursday. We're going to be like 36 hours. Like, we're just going and we're coming back. And why am I doing that? Because it's important to me. Because I think it'll be fun. And I will make time. And I'll spend the gas. And I'll get a hold of that. We make time. We give money. We help for the things that we care about. And I want to encourage you to be generous with the things of God. You know, as I talk about this and unpack here just a little bit where we are as a church, and so I'm going to take a little bit of parentheses because I like to sprinkle these into my messages because we're just a family here. So that's how we roll. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love being the pastor of a generous church. We are a generous church, and I thank you for that. This past year, in November, we talked about what 2018 was going to look like, what we anticipated 2018 was going to look like, and we made several strides with our budget to say we really believe this is where God is leading us, with staff, with adding the Saturday night service, with all the things that are involved with that, and we said we're going to step out in faith. We just believe this is what God's wanting us to do. And so, never knowing. I mean, you never know. This is a complete faith venture. We're not selling stuff, you know. It's God's provision through your generosity. That's how it works here at the church. And so, as we think about coming into this year, it's like, okay, like what's God? What are you going to do? And I'm thrilled to be able to report to you that both in January and in February, even this growth faith budget, like, okay, we're going to stretch ourselves in both months. We've been considerably in the black, considerably. You can look, absolutely, give a shout of praise. I mean, you can look in the bulletin. You can see for February. You can see what we needed for February and what came in. And we like to be very transparent about those kinds of numbers. And so as we begin asking ourselves, okay, like what's next? Like what are we going to do? And you're thinking to yourself, cool, I guess I don't have to tithe this month. Like it's all good, you know? I'll put my wallet back in my pocket. What we're doing, what we've decided as a leadership team, is what we're going to do is, as God continues to bless and provide, we're going to pay down some of the costs that were involved in getting into this building in the first place. So Aztec, who owns this property, they fronted all of the work for, you know, the HVAC stuff and the bathrooms and the plumbing and all the work in Adventure Village that had to be done, all of those things. And so we pay a base rent, and then we add, you know, a few $1,000s, and that helps pay that down. So we're not in the business of just accumulating. We want to have savings. We've got a reserve, and we're always working on that stuff. But we're not about just, like, piling up cash. That's not what our church is about. We're going to start paying that down. So a portion of all that comes in extra and above is going to go toward reducing the cost that we owe the TI, because we believe that even though our lease is here for another 4.5 years, that we're probably not going to be here another 4.5 years. We're going to have to do something else This was always just the next step. It wasn't the final step. Started at Riverbend School. Now we're renting. We don't want to rent forever. And we need more seating. We need more parking. What's next for us? I don't know. But God knows. And so we're going to continue to be faithful. And I'm asking you as the pastor of this church to continue to be generous. It's great to be able to stand up here and say, we really need money. Please give. Please. No, I'm asking you to continue to do what you've been doing. And if you want to get on that train, get on that train, because God's doing something amazing and we're excited about the future. Now, I want to tell you about the team we put together to kind of help us identify some stuff. So the plan is we're going to kind of work behind the scenes for these next several months, and we're going to make a presentation to the leadership team saying, hey, this is kind of all that we've vetted, and then they're going to take some time to pray over it. And then in November, at our November annual meeting, we talked about this last year, our plan is to present to you, this is what we have prayerfully considered in our community with building or property or whatever it's going to be, and we're presenting this to the congregation, and then after that, there will be some kind of capital campaign fundraising type effort. And I know that can be hard, and so we want to be very upfront about the trajectory of where we feel we're going as a church, and we want you to know, you know, from the pastors and the leadership. So those people are Roger Jose, David Willis, Lisa Fong, and Liz Cervantes. Okay, those four people are going to be working with me. So if you have ideas or suggestions or thoughts, please share them with me or one of those people, and we'll be praying and working behind the scenes to do these things. But I want to encourage you to be generous with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure with the work of the local church. The work of the local church. There are lots of wonderful organizations. There are lots of wonderful places where you can give your time, your talent, and your treasure. And I'm not suggesting that you don't do those things. I'm grateful for the nonprofit organizations in our community and in our world. Okay? Jesus did not die for the nonprofit organization. I'm grateful for the missions agencies that are in our world, and we support them, and we should. But Jesus did not die for missions agencies. I'm grateful for Christian schools, and I'm a product of a Christian school. I went to Christian school. I went to Christian college. Jesus did not die for the Christian school. He died for the local church. And in our efforts to be involved in all these other things, do them. I am. Do likewise, not at the expense of the local church. Let me encourage you to continue to be generous. We are always generous with the thing, church, that he will continue to do it, not so that glory can be brought to our name, but because there are people that need to be reached, and there's ministry that needs to be done, and we don't want to just do what God wants us to do. We want to be a part of what God is already doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. We always are generous toward what we desire. We see that in Exodus 32. Number three. Oh, we got to go. Idolatry is simply worshiping God in our own way. Don't get caught up just in the graven image. Like, this is bad. I mean, what we see there represented is horrific. It's terrible, okay? But it's not just about the golden image, okay? It's about the attitude they have about worship. And idolatry is simply worshiping God in our way. Because we're like, I don't have a golden calf. I don't have a statue in my house. I don't have an idol. Idolatry is more than just that. And as we unpack what they're doing here, you know, there are a lot of aspects of worship in what they're doing. They're giving. They've got food, fellowship, and we've talked about that in recent days. There's burnt offerings, there's peace offerings. There's all these elements of worship, but the problem is they made their worship about them and what they needed and not him. That was the problem. Hey, we need a God. We need this. And that's where they got off track. And I want to encourage you to remind you that just being a little bit off can make a huge difference. I've used this illustration before. So if I'm here and I'm facing this direction, you know, back to the donuts, to the promised land, okay, right over here, you know, and I deviate just a little bit, okay, I'm still really close to where I started, right? I'm right here. I can still see it, and I can still see where I'm headed, back over here. But what happens over time? We get further and further away. In a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, we're all the way over here. God wants us over there, and we're like, how in the world did I get here? You know how you got there? You took one little step this way. I want to encourage you, stay on the path. God has for you. Because idolatry is not about just a graven image. It's about worshiping him our own way. Number four, sin always leaves a mark. Sin always leaves a mark. Devastating consequences to the people, devastating consequences will come to us as well. Look at these two verses. The first one, Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. It says, don't be deceived. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't think, you know what, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. You will not be the exception to the rule. What you sow, you will reap. You cannot plant oranges and hope to get apples. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? Second one is in Hebrews 12, 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The discipline of the Lord. Many people say, they'll say, you know, man, I'm getting away with it. I'm doing my own thing. I'm going my own way. Nobody knows about it. I've got everybody fooled. Got my parents fooled. Got my spouse fooled. Got the pastor fooled. I'm getting away with it. Well, a couple things to think about in that regard. Okay, number one, God's kids don't get away with it. So if you feel like you're getting away with it all the time, that's not a cause for celebration. That's cause for concern. And I'm not telling you you're not saved. I'm just saying God disciplines his own. I don't discipline Jordan's kids. Why? They're not my kids. Wreck the house. Do. Whatever. You know? Do what you're going to do. Means nothing to me. They're not my kids. Gracie? You better believe it. You better believe it. Why? Because I don't want her to have fun? Because I don't like her? No, because I love her. So I discipline her. I chastise her. I remind her when she's getting off the path. And God will do the same thing. Number two, if you think you're getting away with it, you're really not. You're really not. Because there are two things going on. One, there are external things that happen. I'm getting away with it because nobody knows. I'm not bearing any consequences externally for what I'm doing right now. Friends, there's an internal something that happens when we're getting away from God. And it will destroy your soul. That hidden secret sin that you think you're getting away with, that no one else knows about, it is affecting you. And it is affecting the people around you, whether you see it or not. Remember, sin always leaves a mark. Stay away from it. The last one is just a scripture. 34. Just turn a page over to 34. The last takeaway. After this, you know, they're commanded to leave Sinai. He talks about the tent of meeting. Moses intercedes again. And then chapter 34, Moses makes new tablets. So it's brand new tablets. And we read down in verse number five, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord proclaims the name of the Lord. It's an interesting text. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord. And what is L-O-R-D capitalized? It is Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. Didn't we sing that today? We did. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. And I've told Jeff that what you have happening here in Exodus 34 is Yahweh shouting Yahweh, Yahweh. It's all about his glory. I got goosebumps. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. But if we turn, we have this beautiful picture of God. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding. You may remember the merciful and gracious nature of our God. Maybe you're in that illustration, maybe you're there, or you're on this path. You know God. Hey, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the great thing about God is you don't have to like start there and walk all the way back here and then start. God will just beam you over. And you're back. You're back. It can happen today. Some of you are fighting with stuff and struggling with stuff, and you just need to lay it down. Do not take it into your car. Do not take it out of this building. You leave it right here. Because he is gracious and he is merciful. So as we close with the name of Jesus, as we do in all these messages, and we'll prepare for communion, we are recipients of this grace. We are recipients of this because of his sacrifice. We can be in this position because now we're no longer under this old covenant where it's like God is going to do this and I'm going to do this. The new covenant is God is going to do this and Jesus is going to do this. And no longer do I need Moses interceding for me. I have Jesus interceding for me. Check out this last statement. No matter where we are and no matter what we've done, because of Jesus, God will meet us with his mercy and his grace. Because of Jesus. He is my intercessor. He is my advocate. He says, Father, this guy here, he's a pastor, he's a father. He's got this weird Star Wars obsession. He's mine. He's ours. He belongs to us. No wrath. Nothing. No consuming wrath, no annihilation, because he's ours. And that has nothing to do, zero to do with me. And it has everything to do with the Jesus who came to this world and lived a perfect life and died on the cross, taking my sin and my shame and my punishment and my hell upon himself. He was annihilated. God's wrath was upon him. So that I could be forgiven. So that I could be made free. So that I could enjoy all the blessings of this life and heaven too. And that's what we do here at the table. We remember. So let's bow for prayer and ask God's blessing. Father, I thank you for the time today in Exodus 32. And Lord, it's terrible to think about how quickly your people turned to other things. But I'm just reminded that we can just be the same way. And Lord, we may not have physical graven idols and images, but there are things in our life that are just, we know they're not pleasing to you. We know it's not about what you want us to do. And we just continue to engage. Father, I pray that you would just in each heart today, if there's someone here who's just struggling with whatever that battle is, Lord, just give them a victory today. Father, help them to not leave this room with that weight. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as Savior, that even in this moment, they would cry out to you and simply say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you will come into them and cleanse them and give them a brand new life. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And as we enter into this time of communion, may our hearts be drawn together and nourished by this time of remembering the sacrifice of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ushers are going to begin passing out the elements, a piece of bread and a cup for each of you that would like to participate. If you're here and you know the Lord is your Savior, you're welcome to participate with us today. If you have questions or concerns or just uncomfortable in any way, feel free to just let it pass to another person.